This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And good afternoon. This is Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. A couple of housekeeping issues before we get into the agenda for the day. Again, if you want to call in, the call-in number here is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And I think the topic for the day and the guest that I have with me is going to result in several of you wanting to call in. This is going to be an outstanding program. In fact, I intend to spend all four segments with Laura, my guest. And let me set the context here during this first segment. I'm going to take a few minutes so that the following three can be used for Laura to tell her story and to share with you who she is in terms of her identity in Christ, rather than resting in this argument of postmodern culture that our identity is nothing but the sum total of our inclinations, that our personhood is nothing more than what our proclivities are, and that we lose our imago Dei, if you will, in this argument that we are nothing but the imago dog, that we are not created in the image of God with the ability and the culpability and the responsibility to actually resist certain inclinations, but that we're actually defined by those inclinations and we should imbibe every one of them, and that becomes our identity. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a conservative, I obviously disagree with that. In fact, in my book, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas, which you can buy on Amazon if you want, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas, I hope you get the point there, that as a conservative, I'm actually more classically liberal than many of my progressive counterparts, because I believe in conserving the time-tested truths of God, which actually give us liberty and liberation and freedom. Let me read a little excerpt out of a chapter that I wrote in my book, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. The chapter is titled, Born to be Wild and Gay. It says this: I was recently approached by a friend who told me that she was being confronted by her neighbors because she has shared the Wesleyan Church's view of sexuality, which is traditional morality, and that sexual relationships should be reserved for a man and a woman in marriage. Many of her neighbors disagree, and they've argued that homosexual people are born that way and therefore should be given the freedom and the respect to behave as their identity would dictate. My answer, my personal view of this question on whether or not people are born homosexual or trans or whatnot, is that in some sense of the word, it really doesn't matter. And let me explain. We have to admit that we live in a broken world. All of us are born with a sinful nature, with broken bodies, broken attitudes, and broken spirits. All of us are born with some compromised aspects of our bodies, our personalities, and our souls. Whether it be physical or mental, none of us come into this world perfect. We all have some limitations that we are cursed with, and we have to accept that and wrestle with it and struggle with it. That's part of life. So genetic predisposition really doesn't mean that much when it comes to the questions of morality and corresponding behavior. For example, some people may be born with a genetic predisposition to be angry. Does that mean that they have the right to strike out at others all the time? Does a guy with an anger gene, if you will, have the moral right to hit his children or verbally abuse his spouse? Some folks may be genetically predisposed to pedophilia. I'll repeat that. Some folks may be genetically predisposed to pedophilia. Does that give them an excuse to use children for their sexual pleasure? How about racism? If it could be proven that Iranians, or Germans for that matter, are genetically predisposed to hate Jews, would the argument that they are born this way justify genocide? You see, born this way, and these arguments, really doesn't work if one believes that we still have the obligation and free will to behave morally in spite of the broken world we live in. Sexual behavior has always been a moral discussion, and the measure of right behavior and wrong behavior has never been, and can never be grounded in the assumption that we are free to do all the things that we were born to do. We're not animals. We don't just rut around and rut about enslaved to uncontrolled instincts. We are moral creatures, which means by definition that we don't do some of the very things we are born to do. So I have to conclude that even if someone were to find proof of a gay gene, for example, or a trans gene, which, by the way, has been completely misrepresented by the academic elites and the mainline media, and most all others, because of their libertine agenda. The falsification of the Kinsey Report documents is just but one example. So if you could find this gene, which there's no proof right now that it exists, I would argue it really doesn't matter that much. Who cares about biological proclivities? You and I are predisposed to do a lot of things that are just simply wrong. Genetic predisposition does not determine what is moral and what is not. If our physiology or chemistry becomes the final measuring rod of right and wrong, then we are left with absolutely no moral standards regarding pedophilia, necrophilia, pederasty, bestiality, or any other sexual expression. Sex with kids, sex with kangaroos, or sex with a cadaver would all be a matter of personal choice. On what basis would you or anyone else argue that such behaviors are wrong? Frankly, in such a world, we would have no moral arguments for or against any action, sexual or otherwise. If personal behaviors are predetermined by nature or by nurture, then personal freedom and any corresponding concepts of morality and personal responsibility are moot by definition. That's out of a chapter of mine in my book, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. And I want to tell a story. I've got a few minutes in this segment, and then I'm going to introduce Laura. She'll have a brief second to introduce herself, and then we'll take a break. I've been quite outspoken on radio and in my writing about the concept that I just described to you, about this argument that I think our culture has drank the Kool-Aid, we've swallowed the poison pill of this argument of your identity is nothing more than what you're inclined to do. I just described why I disagree with that. I've been expressing this on talk radio in Tulsa, on a secular talk radio show, with a conservative talk show host that I serve with him as his guest every Friday morning. I've been doing it for probably 6, 7, 8 years. I received an email about 2 months ago. Basically went something like this. Dr. Piper, I want to introduce myself to you. My name is Laura. I've been listening to the Pat Campbell Show, KFAQ Tulsa, and you've been his guest every Friday morning, and I've been listening to you routinely and regularly over the years. I'm transgender. And if you stop there, you're thinking, oh no, here it comes, you're going to get criticized. Well, Laura continued and said, I've been transgender, I've been living that way for a number of years, and I want to tell you, I've been listening to you and your argument and your continued emphasis of identity versus inclinations, and how we find our identity in Christ, not in what we're inclined to do, and that we're bigger and better than our appetites or our gut or our instincts, and that we should rise above that. We have the obligation as morally culpable human beings to actually do some things that we're not inclined to do and not do some things that we're inclined to do. And I want to tell you something. I agree with you. And I've come home to Christ. I've come home to my family. And I just wanted to write you and thank you. Now, this is a paraphrase of what I remember Laura writing to me. And you can imagine my reaction was, it can't get any better than this. If I accomplished nothing other than this one positive story in being persistent and clear and having some courage and confidence in a spine, if you will, and running into the storm of this sexual debate rather than hunkering down and running away from it, if I accomplished nothing other than receiving this one email, it can't get any better than this. So I responded and I thanked Laura. I sent her a note back and saying, what a blessing. Thank you for communicating with me. I figured that was probably the end of it. Well, let's just say a month later, I'm in the cafeteria at Oklahoma Wesleyan University in a It was Sunday afternoon, and a lot of the local yokels come out and eat at the cafeteria. And this lady came running across the cafeteria to greet me when I walked in. And she came up, she introduced herself as a member of the First Baptist Church here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and she said she'd been coming out here because she wanted to meet me. And I said, well, that's great. Tell me why. She said, you know that woman that wrote to you, the girl that wrote to you about the transgender issue a few weeks ago, that's my daughter. I thought, that's wonderful. She said, Laura is back in Bartlesville now, and she's wanting to meet you too. In fact, she's been in the cafeteria a couple weeks, and she's missed you, and she wants to be introduced to you. The next week, essentially, Laura and her mother came back, and I had the opportunity to meet her. And she told me her story. And it's a powerful story of God's grace, God's sovereignty, God's redemption, God's forgiveness, and the softness of heart that it takes for a person to listen to the truth of Christ and the truth of Scripture and to respond to it in humility. And therefore, I want to introduce Laura to you today She's agreed to come on this radio program and share her story, and it's a powerful, powerful story that so many people need to hear in our culture that's upside down when it comes to identity, and upside down when it comes to morality, and upside down when it comes to personal responsibility. We've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We've declared ourselves to be as God. We're shaking our fist in the face of God and saying, I'll define what's human. You have no right to do so. I'll define what's right and wrong and good and evil, male and female. You have no right to do so. And Laura's been there. She's been on that side of the fence. She has been shaking her fist in the face of God, but she has come home to Christ and she's come home to the church. So Laura, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on today. And I just
Laura, we've got here. Let me set the stage.
Okay.
It's we've got about 3 minutes before we break. So, and then we're going to have you on after the commercial break too. And I'm going to allow people to call in and ask you questions. So, in the 3 minutes that we've got before the break, how would you like to introduce yourself and set the stage for the following three quarters of an hour?
Well, I'd just like to say, first of all, that to anybody that's listening, I know there's a lot of people out there that have children that aren't serving the Lord. My parents and my family and church members thought for a very, very long time that I would never come back to the Lord, and I even told God that I would never serve Him again. I grew up in a family that was very Christian and very loving, and we were at church every time the door was open, but I didn't have a real relationship with Jesus. And through a lot of years of sin and a lot of years of rejecting God, I eventually had gotten into a lot of sexual activity and pornography, and eventually decided to live as a man after many years of having feelings of being a boy. And that was just kind of a culmination of a lifelong, a life of sin. And so it was through this program, really, and a few other things, but mainly I was so impressed by Dr. Piper's strength to really tell the truth. Not many people were telling the truth, and everybody wants to make you feel good and doesn't want to hurt your feelings, but this is where I really was finding truth.
One of the things we want to talk about after the break is, I asked you earlier today, why were you even listening to conservative talk radio? I mean, it just seems antithetical to the transgender community to care two hoots about what somebody's saying on a conservative talk radio station.
Well, it really was. It was the my partner that I lived with for 8 years and was probably the only person, maybe one of one or two others, that was had anything to do with conservative ideas. And he was actually very Republican and conservative. And really, we didn't talk about Christian things, but was very conservative. And when 99% of the other people were liberal, and because it was really the first time since going into that community that I even thought about what truth really was. And the more I started to listen to conservative radio, and the more I did, the more I thought about truth.
All right, so the fact that we were speaking truth on a conservative radio station caught your attention. You didn't listen to it to mock it. You didn't listen to it to get angry about it. You were a dry sponge waiting to soak up somebody's words that were grounded in truth.
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. The call-in number is 866-372-7234. We'll be back after this commercial break.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetalpain. That is frc.org/fetalpain.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to Washington Watch this Friday afternoon, this Friday evening. This is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Well, you know, in my introductory remarks during the first segment, that I've introduced Laura, and I'm going to try to let her run with this story a little bit right now. So, Laura, let me just set it back up again. You hear this conservative conversation on conservative talk radio in Tulsa, and you're attracted to it. You listen to it not because you're necessarily repulsed or you're angry or you want to mock it. You actually find something attractive in this message, and why in the world do you think God used that to lead you where you are today in your life?
Well, I think God was just speaking to me about what truth was. And, you know, because so many of the liberal ideas keep telling everybody that truth is relative and, you know, maybe that's truth for you, but this is my truth. And the more I listened to conservative talk radio, the more I realized that there was an absolute truth. And when you were talking about how we're not just the sum total of our feelings and our inclinations, and we're not animals. And as much as I didn't want to hear it at the time, I kept being drawn to it because I knew it was the truth.
And your partner that you were living with mm-hmm. believed in absolute truth too.
I don't know. We never talked about that a whole lot. It was more that he just really got me into listening, or well, not even listening to the radio. It was more he just got me to start thinking about being conservative and Republican, and we would talk, I guess, more about political issues mm-hmm. more than anything. But because I was realizing that I was more conservative in my beliefs, then I started listening to the conservative talk radio.
You know, one of the things that really affirms me, and I would like the listeners to be affirmed too, is that have confidence in speaking the truth of Christ and the truth of Scripture to a culture that appears to resent it and hate it. Have confidence because we don't know who's listening to us and we don't know how they're being affected by biblical truth, a biblical worldview, and the conservation of God's time-tested truths. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And in fact, there was a friend of mine that told me that when somebody shared the truth with him, he said that the guy asked him if he was offended by what he said, and he said, well, yeah, I'm offended by it. And he said, good. The people that are living in sin are offended by the truth. And that's absolutely true. You know, even though there was a lot of times I didn't want to hear it, and I would pretend I didn't hear it because I liked a lot of other things you said. I kept being drawn to it anyway because I wanted to hear the truth, even if I didn't realize it at the time.
As you were going through this journey and listening to this stuff day in and day out, week in and week out, perhaps even over the years, was there a point of an epiphany where the light bulb turned on, and can you identify that, or was it more gradual?
It was somewhat gradual, but it was really, especially after after I really met Jesus, because that was a little bit before I came out of the transgender lifestyle. What had happened was my mom had really started to change and to grow, because out of this tragedy, she really fell into despair, and she started seeking God really with all her heart. And out of that, I saw a change in her. And as she started to change, it really led me to Jesus. And then over time, God spoke to me, and I would hear these things, and I was just so drawn to hearing the truth. And I was listening to preaching and talk radio 8 to 9 hours a day.
Really?
While I was working, I would be listening to this stuff in my headphones all day long at work.
And this is while you're still identifying as a transgender male.
Yep, that was almost 2 years, and I kept trying to ignore the conviction, and I would kind of sweep it under the rug and pretend that that it wasn't wrong. And but over time, I knew it was, and I was also listening to some different things on prophecy, and you know, there was kind of a culmination of things. But as I really started thinking about you know, living for God, and you know, what was I going to say if I stood before God and knew that I'd intentionally lived in sin, and I really couldn't handle that.
Now you say your mother changed. Mm-hmm. Got a minute or two left in this segment. You want to say more details about that, because that led you back to Jesus.
Yes.
So be more specific if you can.
Yeah, my mom, and not picking on her, she was a self-described Pharisee for most of her life, and I love my mother dearly, but she, you know, life was all about going to church. It was about doing works for God, and when I told her I was doubting my faith, it was like, well, you need to go to church more. And but when she began to have real peace, and she wasn't trying to fix me anymore, and she was just telling me the truth, but really in love for the first time, and I could see just an absolute peace in her that I had never in my life known my mom to have, and I wanted to know what she had.
So she didn't compromise any of the gospel truth or scriptural truth, but she just changed in terms of her presentation, or changed in the way she was actually living it?
Really in the way she was living it. It's just a matter of she was seeking God with all her heart. And as she changed, I just began to see it. It wasn't even as much a matter of her telling me. It was more like just in our conversation, we would talk. I was making a website for her Bible study, and so I would hear things that she was finding in the Bible, and we'd talk about it. But just in our conversation, she wasn't preaching at me. I saw a change in her, and I knew that she had something I didn't.
I think earlier in a radio show we were doing in a different radio network today, you mentioned that you felt like you were a dry sponge in a culture that wasn't giving you any water. I don't know if I'm butchering that analogy or not, but I think that's close to something you said.
Yeah. Even though the LGBT community is very loving in some ways and very inclusive, and but they tell you, you know, they try to tell you that, oh, this is wonderful and everything, at the same time, they're not, they weren't giving me any truth. They weren't, they kept affirming who they wanted me to be and who I thought I was. But I was still feeling so empty. And even after a lot of these changes, I was still really empty inside.
You know, it's fascinating. I hear the music coming on, so we're getting ready to take a break. But again, callers, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to engage with somebody that's been there, has walked down this path. And this is so important to our culture today, because there's no argument right now. Every corner that we walk around, every TV show, every commercial, every movie, every song, every political debate is focused on this issue of gay marriage, this issue of LGBTQ, this issue of bathrooms. This is a critical issue, and you have the opportunity to engage with Laura if you wish. The call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We'll be right back after the break.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
You know, everyone listening to me right now ought to go to their computer and go to 1 million moms, all one word, 1millionmoms.com. I don't have to tell anybody listening to this that we are deeply entrenched in a culture war. That what we see on television, here on television and the radio, what is all around us in print media, what's permeated our schools and our school systems, what we're hearing coming out of the government, some of us even hearing some atrocious things coming from our church. There has never been a time more important than this, that if you're a mom, and you don't need to be a mom, to get the alerts coming out of 1millionmoms.com. It doesn't cost anything. You just need to go to 1millionmoms.com and sign up so that you can participate in the battles in which 1 million moms is fighting every single day. They're doing an incredible work for the kingdom, for the culture, and for the future of our children. Programming being shut down, taken off the air as a result to the power of so many moms coming together. Sponsors of other programs pulling their support because of what 1 million moms is doing. I hope everyone will go to 1millionmoms.com. 1millionmoms.com. Sign up, participate in the battle.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Ever Piper here with Washington Watch this Friday evening, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Again, I'm president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I'm always honored to give Tony a break. So my pleasure to join you. We're going a little different direction today. I usually take several political topics or social topics, and we jump from one to another over the hour. But we're focusing on one thing and one thing alone tonight, and that's Laura's testimony. And I know we have a couple callers here. So I think we'll take those calls right now, Laura. And I know there are a couple issues that you want to address, and we'll make sure we address those either in this segment or in the following. But Joseph in Alabama, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Joseph, good to talk to you.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good. You?
Oh, fantastic. I can't say enough. You know, I praise God for Laura. She's come in at such a time as this. And a particular person that I know and had gone to church with, some years back. She's in the civil rights kind of, human rights kind of thing. Her name is Alveda King.
Mm,
and
yes.
And Laura's testimony, see, Alveda is, she's deceived as far as LGBT community. And Laura, if you could ever get a chance to talk to her, she's a wonderful person, but she's deceived. And that's how the enemy does. He'll take people from the very top. And she needs to hear your testimony, because I'm telling you, what you're saying is so, so powerful and so, so healing to a lot of people, because a lot of people are just getting caught up in the fact that God is love, and they don't realize that God also is holy. And I think that's what Alveda and quite a few other people that's in that movement are very deceived about that. They have a bleeding heart towards certain things when they should be preaching and taking a stand against sin.
Thanks, Joseph. I appreciate your comments. Laura, very briefly, how do you respond to people that you think are wrong? How do you respond to somebody who you believe is deceived on this issue?
Well, we have to stand on God's word. I mean, ultimately, I'm not your judge, and neither is anybody here on this earth. One day, we are all going to stand before God, and I'm just trying to tell people the truth. You know, I think the church has fallen into the trap of not wanting to hurt people's feelings, but, you know, do we want them to go to hell? Or if even if they're a Christian, they're just living in sin, do we want them to stand before God knowing they willingly lived in sin? And, you know, I don't know what that will be like, but I know it's sure not what I wanted. So I think we need to tell people the truth.
So have confidence in the truth. Don't back down. Do it in love. Do it with compassion. Do it with confidence. And trust God to be the guide in his providence. I believe we have one more caller we're going to take in this segment and let Laura respond. Jim in Alabama. Jim, are you there? Jim, do I still have you? Apparently we've lost Jim. I'm not hearing him right now. Laura, one of the things that I think maybe you could do as we get ready to go into the last 15 minutes of this particular show is the issue of feelings. You've told me that you didn't feel like you wanted to be a girl, but that wasn't the primary issue for you when you felt convicted. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was really convicted about this, like I said, I'd been stuffing it under the rug for quite a while. And when I really felt convicted of it, I felt like I'd been hit by a sledgehammer and like I'd just fallen into this pit I didn't know how to get out of. And it just completely broke me. And I didn't feel like a girl and I didn't want to be a girl. I couldn't stand my name. I had worked so hard to do all this. I forgot to mention earlier that I had legally changed my name. I'd had surgery to remove my breasts. I was on male hormones. I had facial hair. And my job I was in, I was only known as a male. I had worked really hard to do all this, and I felt like God was asking me to give it up, and I just saw no way out of it. But it wasn't about feeling, and it wasn't about, you know, I've heard from several people, well, whatever makes you happy. This had nothing to do with making me happy at the time. I know now that it's given me true happiness in Jesus Christ, but at the time, it was just, this is what God has said, and this is what I have to do. Otherwise, I am doing just the same I did in high school when I told God I wouldn't serve him again. Even though I was a Christian, I was still willfully disobeying God. And, you know, I knew that I couldn't continue to do that. And, you know, I told God that if he would help get me out of this, that I would serve him with every breath left in my body. And for a month or so, I was crying out to God, and I would hear, and I was begging God to take my life because I could not live in the sin. I couldn't continue in that life, and yet I saw no way out. And so through a lot of prayer, I think God allowed me just to see a tiny glimpse of what Jesus felt on the cross for us, that shame, and that, you know, he didn't just die for us, but he also bore all that sin and shame for us. And I think God gave me a little glimpse into what that was like.
You told me that during the commercial break when we were off air, you said, if I would have wanted to be happy, I would have stayed where I was.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that's important for people to hear. You didn't make this move for happiness per se, for selfish reasons or for feelings.
Yeah.
Coming up on a break here, I hear the music coming on. Again, the call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. If you'd like to talk more about this issue that's so important in our culture today, and that is our identity, which is so often driven by this argument that our sexual inclinations is the sum total of who we are. If you'd like to talk to somebody who's been there, somebody who's wrestled with it, and somebody who's come back to Christ in the church, you can talk to Laura after the break, 866-372-7234.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. holyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Life for me is pretty good. I'm 12 years old, got a dog, love to shop with mom. I've got problems too, but I have it so much better than most kids living in poverty around the world, often without food and shelter. How can we help? Through a program called Operation Christmas Child, pack a shoebox with toys and other gifts to send to a child.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org and get involved with Operation Christmas Child today. SamaritansPurse.org.
Always stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from the news team of One News Now. Use the One News Now mobile app. It neatly categorizes news and articles from the One News Now website in an easy-to-find format. You can read the stories, watch videos, and conveniently share any news story, all from within the app. The One News Now mobile app. It's free, and it's now available for download from your phone's app store.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And welcome back to this final segment of Washington Watch this Friday afternoon, this Friday evening. Again, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan here, filling in for Tony Perkins. I know we have three callers on the line, so don't leave me. We're going to get to you. But before I transition to those calls, I'd like to ask Laura, is there anything you'd like to say briefly as we set this up for this home stretch in today's program? Anything you want to summarize or explain as we go into these last three callers?
Yeah, there was one of the verses that really brought me out of this lifestyle was Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so that's really the point I was at. Like I said earlier, this had nothing to do with what I wanted or what was making me happy, or this was totally about self-denial. And that's not to glorify myself in any way. That's simply to tell you, for anyone that's struggling with this, I understand what it's like to feel these things. But we have to stand on God's word, because you will stand before God one day, and his truth is the only truth there is. And also the other point, and I did want to say just briefly that now that I've come home, God has really changed my heart. And my mom used to tell me, if you will be obedient, that God would bless me and change my heart. And he absolutely has. For the first time in my life, I want to be a girl, and I enjoy buying pretty things. And he's really, really changed my heart. And God has just blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. And the other thing I wanted to mention real quick is parents and loved ones often ask me, what's my advice to them? What do they tell their children that are living in this lifestyle? And the thing I would say is, you can't fix them. Only God is going to change their heart, only the Holy Spirit. And so I would give you Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's just like my mom: work on your relationship with God and surrender them into God's hands, and he will change their hearts.
Vicki from Iowa, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Great.
Well, I just wanted to call in because this is what I'm, living with, with my sister, my only sister. And I just wanted to encourage Laura. I'm so happy that she's standing for truth, and I just want to encourage her because so many people are on both sides are involved in this situation, and I just am so happy that she's standing for truth, because it just goes out to so many different areas, not just one area, but so many people are deceived about sexual things or abortion or whatever, you know, and just for you to stand for truth like you are is such a blessing for everybody. And I just want to encourage you and thank God for you.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for calling in. Laura, quick response before we go to Cindy in Texas.
Yeah, just thank you so much, Vicki, for taking the time to encourage me. You know, there's so many people these days trying to tear people down that are coming out of this lifestyle, and I really appreciate the encouragement. God bless you.
Sid, Texas, are you there?
Hey, what's up?
Sid, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to, for one, thank you for taking my call, and thank you again, Doctor. You're doing such a great job encouraging the masses. And I just wanted to say to my sister Laura just that I'm so happy that she's returned to the fold, and reminds me a lot of the story about, you know, the 99 sheep and how, you know, how heaven rejoices more over the one that's returned home. That's exactly how I feel about Ms. Laura today, and I just wanted to say thanks for sharing your story with me and giving me encouragement and talking to my brothers and sisters who are also suffering in the homosexual lifestyle, and just so happy that you were able to stand up and make this change for not just for you, but for the sake of the kingdom. And I just want to say thanks.
Thanks for taking the time to call in, Sid.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sid, for taking the time to call in. And you mentioned giving you hope about other people that are in this lifestyle. And, you know, that's really my mission for the rest of my life. I just want to encourage people that are either in this lifestyle or have loved ones that are in. And there was times I thought I would never leave that lifestyle. I just thought it was a crazy idea, and I didn't think I would ever serve God again. There is always hope, and nobody is beyond God's reach.
Matt in Missouri. Matt,
hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, I want to start by comment. Hey, thanks, Lori. You're just awesome. Your mom's really awesome. Dr. Piper, you're awesome, too. My question basically is, you know, I'm in a church right now, and I have members that are, you know, gay or lesbian. They've been, you know, very, very, you know, how should I put it, active in the church. And with the way our government is, the way society is right now, and, you know, even our church platform, you know, has issues with it. But, you know, looking, you know, over it, how, Dr. Piper, you kind of hit it right on the head, you know, at the very beginning when you opened up. And I just wish I could be more like Laura's mother or yourself, you know, in explaining and describing how wrong, you know, it really is, and the morals and the fundamentals of it all. And, you know, I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Matt. Let me just respond briefly, and we need to listen to Laura after that. Laura, what I hear Matt asking is exactly what I wanted to ask as we concluded this program, and that is, we've got so many people within the church. I often am critical of the emergent church within the evangelical side. So many evangelicals today, they identify as emergent, have drank the Kool-Aid with regard to the LGBTQ argument, this argument that we need to celebrate our identity, and that there's nothing wrong with homosexual monogamy. There's nothing wrong with the LGBTQ lifestyle as long as it's quote-unquote God-honoring, quote-unquote monogamous. And they have conceded the debate on marriage, and they celebrate this new definition of what marriage is, etc. And you see it in, even in the bathroom bill arguments within North Carolina. You see Christians, quote-unquote, who are arguing for love and compassion, and therefore let everybody use the bathroom that they want to use. How do you respond to those arguments in the church? How do you feel about them? What do you want to tell us to do?
Well, the thing I really want to get across is that, first of all, we are told to not allow people just to continue to live in blatant sin within the church. But also, you one thing that I have learned coming out of this is I cannot even tell you how much I have grown, how much God has blessed me beyond measure, beyond my wildest dreams, and given me so much spiritual insight and zeal for the Lord and so much boldness and courage. I mean, this blessing in leaving my entire life, I had to leave my my job, you know, this life that I had, my partner that I called my wife, that I lived with for 8 years, my home, everything I knew. And yet God has restored, kind of like Job, even though that was a different situation, I just feel like God is restoring everything tenfold. And he really does bless obedience. And when you're not telling people the truth, you are robbing them of, you know, this, the abundant life that they could have in Jesus Christ. Because true freedom is Jesus, in Jesus Christ, and being obedient. True freedom is not in being who, whatever you feel like you are. And I know what that's like to feel a certain way. But again, I just tell you there, the true freedom is in the absolute truth of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other.
Let me play devil's advocate. If there's somebody out there listening right now and they're saying, oh, she's just in denial. She's in denial. And this conservative talk show guy, Everett Piper, is taking advantage of her denial. What would you say to that objection?
Well, I can tell you, you know, like I said, I was not feeling this way when I moved home. I know what it is to feel like I was transgender, to feel like I was in that lifestyle. And now I don't know that I can tell you other than to say that my eyes have been completely opened to the truth. Not that I understand all things of God. We can't know that completely, but just the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me about who I truly am is something that really can only be found when you surrender your life completely to Jesus, because it's Jesus Christ that lives in us.
Again, your identity is in Christ. It's not right. In your inclinations. Likewise, mine. I've said many times when I'm out on the speaking circuit or whatnot, there are a lot of things I'm inclined to do that I know I shouldn't do. For example, I'm inclined to cheat. I would love to cheat on every test I take. I'd love to let you do all the work, do all the studying, all the memorization, and then sit behind you and look over your shoulder and take advantage of you and not have to do the work. I'm inclined to do that. But as a morally responsible human being, I know I'm not supposed to. I've often said that I grew up in a family of all boys. We're aggressive. We're argumentative. We're prone to get mad at each other. If all of us were to die and you were to put us on the operating table or do an autopsy and cut our brains open and find that our hypothalamus, for example, is twice the size of the average male, you'd say, ah, they were predisposed to anger and aggression, and they were, the Piper boys were inclined to be that way. Does that justify it? Yeah, to me, it makes no difference. So what? It's the curse that I have. It's my thorn in the flesh, but I'm still supposed to do something different than what I'm inclined to do. I'm obligated to be moral. I'm not obligated to just follow my appetites. I know you agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was the same drum you kept beating for 2 years as I was listening to you. And like you said the other day, you felt like a one-string banjo. But it was absolutely true, and it was the truth I needed to hear, that we are not just made up of our feelings. We're not animals. We're not, you know, whatever your inclinations are, or, and not that once we're a Christian, we live without sin, not at all. But at the same time, if you are willingly, blatantly living in a sinful lifestyle, you know, are you truly seeking after God's heart? But again, like we said earlier, I just came to the realization through the Holy Spirit speaking to me that my identity was in Christ and not whatever I was given through this world that is cursed by sin.
Earlier today, when we were on a different talk show, the host actually asked you a question that I was not ready for. I was very fascinated with your answer and his question. He said something like this. I'm curious, when a female starts taking greater doses of testosterone, does it affect the way you think? Does it affect who you are? And you responded by saying that even before any hormone therapy, that your testosterone level was elevated. You want to? Because I think that's important, because it really drives home the point that it's not about your inclination or even perhaps your biological predisposition because of this testosterone issue that you addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I had, they told me at one point that I had higher testosterone levels than a man with prostate cancer. They were just off the charts. And I had, I've never had normal female cycles. I was much stronger than girls my age, especially. I was stronger than even a lot of boys growing up. I could leg press like 350 pounds. I mean, I was just extremely strong. And I just had all this testosterone. But, you know, like we said earlier, it really didn't matter. Whatever, you know, there are birth defects. And I had a doctor even tell me that he thought I might have Turner's syndrome. I don't know if I do or not. And for anybody that doesn't know, that's where part of the X chromosome is either missing or gone completely for one of the X's. But it really didn't matter. It came down to the fact that God created me as a girl. And because of this fallen world that we live in, there are birth defects and there are problems. But that doesn't mean that doesn't change who you are in Jesus Christ.
Mm. You know, we've been on for almost an hour. And you've had the opportunity to share your testimony. I think people have a little bit of a feel for who you are and your passion for finding your identity in Christ. Is there anything you want to take the last minute or two to tell the listeners?
I really want to encourage people, anybody that's listening, I know what you're going through. If you're thinking, I can't leave this, I don't have anywhere to go, and I know the struggle. I know the hurt. I grieved for 3 days. I cried uncontrollably, and I felt completely dead because I had died to my old life. And I even went back home briefly. The day I moved home, I went back to get a few things. And after 8 years of living with my partner and being in the same home, I felt like a stranger in my own home. Excuse me. And God had really cut that tie. But then I didn't feel like my new life had started yet. And I know what that grief and that despair is like. But just be obedient. God will change your heart. And just surrender to Jesus Christ.
As we go out and engage culture and we run into that next person that says, no, I disagree. People are born to be gay. They're born to be lesbian. They're born to be trans. And you guys are wrong for trying to argue them out of it. I know you've already coached us, but any quick response that you'd encourage us to give to the secular, maybe not the Christian, because if we say, well, the Bible says, they're going to miss it. But the secular who says that, how? Any coaching?
Well, I think it's the same message to either one, really. I mean, ultimately, the only truth in this world is God. He gives us the truth in His Word. And no matter whether you believe in God or not, you will stand before Him one day because there is one Creator and He has given us His Word. And the truth is in the Word, whether you want to read it or not. And I just, you know, that's the only truth we can go by.
Laura, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I think everybody that's been listening has been blessed by your testimony and your obedience and encouraged by your confidence in your conversion in Jesus Christ. This is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Thanks for listening today to Washington Watch. Have a wonderful weekend and keep fighting the good fight.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.